beloved people. I failed to put in the bulletin this week that Friday and Saturday coming up are the first Friday and the first Saturday of the month, and that we will have Mass in this church at 6 o'clock and at 8 o'clock on each of those 2 days, which of course you already know. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the usual custom, most of you know the custom, but for those that might by accident not know or may have forgotten, we will congregate, weather permitting of course, in front of the monastery. We will not come into the church. And then we're on the porch of the monastery, we will have the blessing of the palms and the procession into the church, as is customary. That is, of course, you know, if weather permits. If weather does not permit, we will simply, the priest will just simply process around the church, and that is that. Now concerning Holy Week, I have not put this in the bulletin for a variety of reasons, but we simply have to face facts and face realities. We here in the monastery simply do not have the manpower to be able to do the Holy Week services properly. They will be improperly done. We tried it last year, and we ran into serious difficulties, and they just simply were not well carried executed. So rather than go through the same difficulties again this year, which we encountered last year, and nervousness and pressures and tempers and things trying to get the job done, and then not being in the best kind of mood to portray the great mysteries that take place during those days, it is best not to do them at all rather than to do them improperly. So without apology, we simply cannot do and we won't do the regular Holy Week services this year. The church will be open all night through on Thursday night. If you wish to come and spend time in the church, make a holy hour, you certainly should feel free to do that. The church will be left unlocked and open all through the night. The next day, on Good Friday, we will at least live through the 3 hours from 12 to 3, we will have little sermons and devotions and Stations of the Cross at 2:30 and so on, and that will carry us through at least in remembrance of the great 3 hours that took place on Calvary earlier. So Saturday there will be nothing, and of course Sunday will be Easter Sunday, but we are not permitted to distribute Holy Communion on any of those 3 days. So that's just the regulation of the church that we follow, and on those 3 days, if you do not have the ceremonies, rather I should say, put it this way, communion can only be distributed when the ceremonies are put into practice. So since we don't have the ceremonies, we cannot distribute communion. So with that, I think that is the main thing that needs to be brought to your attention. Today is the first Sunday of the Passion of our Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the Passion of our Lord. And we begin to relive the full force of what really took place. And as you notice, already there's been a change in the Mass. where the priest does not say at the foot of the altar, as he normally says, the Psalm 42. It is said at the introit, however, Psalm 42, but not at the foot of the altar, nor will this psalm be said at any time between now and Easter Sunday. The Gloria Patri is no longer said. As you see, the statues and the images are veiled. Everything is, something is happening, something is being reenacted, something is being brought to our attention. And our church is veiled in mystery. Over the past several weeks, we have been speaking of how to serve God and what our service of God requires of us. And we have considered and given consideration to good service and bad service. And if the best we can give God is bad service, then it is far better not to give him any service at all, because bad service is insulting. It is making a mockery of God. It is making a mockery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can give bad service, and our neighbor will say of us, what a wonderful person that person is. Look at what he and she is doing. And for that reason, it becomes a mockery. It becomes a hypocrisy. And it would be said of us the same thing that was said of the Pharisees in today's gospel. Liars. We would be nothing more, nothing less than the Pharisees. It would be total dishonesty, total lying and hypocrisy. During these days, it is time for us to take note of our observance. And if we notice in today's gospel some other very fearful words, he who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear the word is that you are not of God. These are the words that we should keep in front of us constantly. Are we of God? To what extent do we belong to God? The crucifixion and the death, the ignominious death of our Lord, is more than just something that we talk about once a year. We must struggle to comprehend what took place the moment that Christ's head bowed over in death. It is not a matter of simply saying, he died. Big deal. Christ died. He suffered. He this, he that, and he died. For us, he died for our sins. Blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And we go on about it, you know. We could teach parrots to say as much. And parrots would get about as much out of it as we would if that would be our approach. Do we really comprehend death? Do we really understand what takes place at death? Are we so completely wrapped up in what is here, this body of ours? Are we so completely taken up with this body that we cannot think of a period of time that this body that we speak of is not in evidence? When will we come to the realization that I am a prisoner of my body, and that my body keeps me in chains? When will we come to the understanding that at the moment of death, we speak of the soul as if it were a fingernail, perhaps. The soul is I. Is it my body that is speaking to you right now? If that be the case, why is it that when it's in a box later on, it doesn't continue to speak to you? What is it that takes place? I will leave this imprisonment, and all of the things that I would like to have, and all of the things and the fulfillments that I would like to reach, will become mine at that time. If, however, and I will reach those fulfillments in ways that at this present moment are strictly beyond me, beyond my comprehension. I do not understand, I cannot fathom how things will become to me after I leave this thing, which is a hindrance to me. Now what a tragedy. What a tragedy if when I reach that moment, all that I have done in preparation for that moment would have been insufficient, and that I will lose. Rather than gain, I will lose everything that I would have wanted to have at all. Simply because, I will lose it simply because I, at this present moment, with my mind being so shrouded that I am so completely wrapped up in me, that I do not do the things that I know to do. What a tragedy. And the only thing that will prevent me from achieving this which is mine to achieve is myself. I will blockade all progress to the fulfillment of my purpose in life. No one else can do it for me. No one else can do it to me. I alone will do it because of my selfishness and self-centeredness. We look at the crucifix. What do we see? We see a man hanging on a piece of wood And that's that. Crucifix means no more to us than just that. And when we look at that crucifix and we say, oh yes indeed, I would be willing to suffer anything to do the same for him. We say these things when we are in the light of our visual light, in the light of the visual light, in the presence here in church, and we feel these spurts of devotion. But in reality, if we would be faced with the torments and the persecutions that we deserve, to what extent would we yield? To what extent would we put up with persecution? We cannot undergo the slightest fraction of inconvenience or discomfort or a little bit of hunger or a little bit of patience or a little bit of endurance or a little bit of kindness or a little bit of charity or a little bit of truthfulness. We cannot endure that. Yet we tell ourselves, that we would endure crucifixion. There's something wrong with that reasoning. There's something bad wrong. And our lives have to change, and they have to be adjusted to that crucifix. And until they are adjusted to that crucifix, let us not speak of salvation. There can be, there will be, no salvation except that we travel on the cross. And that's that. We know that. You don't need me to tell you. That how much like that cross are our lives attuned? How much like him are our lives attuned? What would you do if someone came and spat in your face? What would you do if some thug came and slapped you in the face? What would you do if someone came and made a fool of you? Good questions. What would I do in such cases? We have to look at it as it is and take all the sugar coating off of our existence. We will not be our own judge. There will be another to judge us. And what a terrible thing it would be if we were to hear, the reason why you do not hear and have not heard is because you have not been of God. During these remaining days, it is time for us to stand apart and look at ourselves in all of the honesty that the occasion demands, my beloved people.